Wonderful. Okay, that's my sermon. Thank you very much. So, everybody, the moral story, buy a Mac. Okay. Let's get into it. In the world of movies, we dislike the simplistic, thin storylines that lead to nowhere. There is this great anti-climax where in the end we discover it was all a dream, or some other hopeless ending that leaves us in wanting. Who's seen a movie like that? Not very much fun. I remember going to watch a movie with a group of friends in one of their houses, and I lost 105 minutes of my life to a movie that was all show and no substance. The movie? Snakes on a Plane. Who knows that movie? It had all the benefits of modern technology with its pristine camera work and epic sound. It even had the highly acclaimed actor Samuel L. Jackson. Who knows him? Yes, I asked that question at the 8 a.m. service and no one put their hand up. So not so highly acclaimed to them. But as for the story itself, it was hopeless. There was no depth to it. Basically, the aim was to survive amid the chaos. It was hundreds of snakes on a plane in mid-flight, and in the end, well, not much. When Jesus turned up to Jerusalem, he found, well, not much. It was such a great anticlimax, just all show and no substance. In the world of business, we hate being deceived. When the salesperson speaks well of a product, you can't help but wonder, are they saying this because they really believe this, or are they saying this because they just want to make a good sales record? You want to know if it's just all show and no substance. You don't want the great anticlimax when you bring the product home and it doesn't deliver. When Jesus turned up to Jerusalem, he arrives to a beautiful product that doesn't deliver. The entry into Jerusalem should have been the climax of Jesus' journey. Jerusalem was the holy city, the center point of worship to God, the home of God's dwelling place, the temple. It was a place of great significance for the Jews, the harbor bridge of Sydney, the pyramids of Egypt, the pie in the sky of Cowan. And yet when the Son of God arrives into the great Jerusalem, he finds, well, not much. It was such a great anticlimax to find all show and no substance. And so our challenge is, your being here today just all show and no substance? Have you come to submit to the wonderful authority of God as he speaks to us through his word? Or have you come just because it's the right thing to do or something alike? Religion means nothing. Coming to church today means nothing. Confirmation, communion, baptism means nothing. Getting married and saying your vows to each other in a $15,000 ceremony means nothing if it's just all show and no substance. I have been given the care of Mark's chapters 11 through to 12, which is quite a big section. Which covers Jesus' entry into Jerusalem over to the widow's offering at the temple. So if you wanted to flick through those sections of your Bible as we go through. See, Mark's version of the triumphal entry, as it is commonly known as, is quite tame compared to Matthew and Luke in those Gospels. So Matthew chapter 21 from verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, here we go, Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And in Luke chapter 19 from verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." It was such a great moment. In Mark, yes, there is some cheering. Where did it all suddenly go? Mark chapter 11 from verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem. Here we go. and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the setup for the great anticlimax. Mark, in his storytelling skills, wanted to show a much less exciting angle of the same true story. The Son of Man's entry into Jerusalem was not all good news and joyful hearts, because Jerusalem was all leaves and no fruit. Still looking good. So from Mark 11, from chapter 11, verse 12, the next day, as they, Jesus and the 12, were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." The fig tree was all leaves and no fruit. Just as Jesus was disappointed to find no fruit on a tree that promised fruit because of its leaves, so too was Jesus disappointed to find no substance in Jerusalem, though it looked the part. Mark does well to work in the cursed tree illustration, which was all leaves and no fruit, to show us that Jerusalem was all show and no substance. And he does this by placing in the middle of the fig tree story one of his Markan sandwiches, commonly only to the Gospel of Mark. Just as Jesus pronounced judgment on the fig tree that had a promising facade of leaves and life, but no fruit to satisfy his hunger, so too was Jesus pronouncing judgment upon the temple that had a facade of godly worship, but no genuine faith that would please God, their master. Their worship was not authentic, it was fake. And in a similar way, Adam and Eve, right from the beginning, tried to find security behind fig leaves after disobeying God, Genesis 3:7. In the same way that they were doing that, so too were the religious leaders finding security in their temple worship. So Mark 11, verse 17, "And as Jesus taught them, he said, 'Is it not written, My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers.'" The temple has become a den of robbers, that is, a place of security for the Jews and for them alone. So we have a reference from Jeremiah 7, 8 to 11. "But look," God says, "you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house, the temple, which bears my name, and say, 'We are safe.' Safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers to you?" The temple was not meant to be a den of robbers, or we may say today, a holy huddle. The temple was meant to be a house of prayer for all nations. The Jews were supposed to be mission-minded, bringing all nations, foreigners, Gentiles, to God's temple to commune with God. Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7. "And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain," where the temple is, "and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." So has the Sydney Anglican Diocese become a den of robbers? Has the St. John's Asquith 10 a.m. service become a den of robbers to us? You see, the den was a cave, a place of security for thieves after committing the robbery. Just like the fig leaf coverings were a place of security for Adam and Eve after committing their sin. These wonderful temple-going Jews would go in, make sacrifices for their sins, and think, "I'm okay. God is pleased with me. I have done my bit. I have had communion, I have said confession. What foolishness. All show, no substance, means nothing to God. Our coming to church means nothing to God. Our knowing when to stand and sit at the right time, and when to say our prayers and how to say our prayers and readings in the right tone of voice means nothing to God. Our bowing our heads and closing our eyes during prayer means nothing to God. Our singing and playing a musical instrument, running the tech, welcoming, setting up morning tea, running children's and youth programs, all mean nothing to God unless you are genuinely sorry for your sins and truly desire to please God, our Master, through these acts of worship. So again, is your being here today just all show and no substance? And further, are we a house of prayer for all nations, or are we a den of robbers? In other words, if God walked into church today, very scary moment, would he find us welcoming people other than our same friends every week, or every 3 weeks for some, and welcoming them into the church to come and commune with God? Or will he find us feeling secure, sitting in our same comfortable seats every week, next to the same familiar people, giving the same familiar prayers, feeling secure of our salvation because we did the right thing? To be sure, the people were praying. Remember, they looked the part. They gave their sacrifices to God. So the question is, do we genuinely come here to worship God, or do we just look the part? Jesus goes on to confront the religious leaders. These are the people who should have known God's will the most, the ones who would set aside time to study God's word. And yet they were just a den of robbers, finding security by hiding behind their facade of fig leaves of temple worship. While the religious leaders questioned the authority of Jesus, their very own authority came into question. Chapter 11 from verse 27. And let me skip through that section. Jesus then likened the religious leaders to wicked tenants who have killed God's servants when they came to see if they were bearing any fruit in their master's vineyard. Chapter 12. And then they questioned Jesus' political stand from verse 13. They sought to make Jesus look foolish for believing in the resurrection of the dead from verse 18. And then finally, he was asked a question from a genuine heart from verse 28, chapter 12. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus answered, and let me summarize, there is one God, love him and love your neighbor also. And then the dialogue continues. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Finally, a religious leader who was right on the ball, and Jesus praised him for it. Burnt offerings and sacrifices were a central aspect to temple worship, and yet this man says, as the Old Testament says, that faith in action, to love God and love your neighbor, is more important than all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices that you could give. The act of sacrifices probably brought the greatest security for the Jewish people and their salvation. And yet, without a genuine heart of sorrow for their sins, they were far from appeasing God's wrath. While Mark opens the temple section well, showing a fig tree that is all leaves and no fruit, now he begins to close off this section with Jesus teaching that very same point more explicitly about the religious leaders. So from chapter 12, verse 37, halfway through, the large crowd listened to him, that is Jesus, with delight. As he taught, Jesus said, Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. Jesus reserves the harshest words for the religious leaders because they were the worst offenders at being all show and no substance. And then Mark immediately gives a contrast to the religious leaders in the story of the widow's offering. And so here we have an example of substance that shows. From verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put into the treasury, has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Genuine worship will show itself in great self-sacrificial generosity. There are so many much smaller ways that we can be sacrificially generous and loving to our neighbor and genuine in our worship to God. Let me give you just one. So if you don't have your pencils, feel free to get those out. Because if all of us here at St. John's did just this one thing, we would have a very different atmosphere here. We would see so many more people walk into the church and even stay in this church. But better yet, you don't even have to do this thing well. The one thing we all need to do is welcome people. If everybody who visited St. John's in the last 2 years had actually stayed, our church would be noticeably bigger. I have picked the need to welcome people, not just because I think this is a key area that we at St. John's need to work on, but because God said that his temple would be known as a house of prayer for all nations. Not just for the same people we've seen for the last 20 years plus. During my last leave, I visited 5 churches over 3 weeks, 2 each Sunday. That whole 1 minute that I sat in a pew waiting for someone to say hello felt like an eternity. Of course, being who I am, I couldn't just stay with the one person that finally did say hello. But as I walked around morning tea and supper, no one welcomed me into their conversation circle. And it wasn't like I didn't try to make eye contact. How many visitors try to do that? For those good at maths, you may have noticed that visiting 2 churches over 3 weeks equals 6 churches, not 5. That's because I revisited 1 church. And can you guess which one I revisited? Yes, the one that welcomed me the most. The one that welcomed me the most. Not just one person, but half the church welcomed me, or so it felt, anyway. I didn't feel like the unwanted tag on, only sticking to the official welcomer. It had such an impact that I really looked forward to going back and being welcomed again. Remember, God's place is to be a house of prayer for who? All the nations. Not just our friends. Sacrifice talking to your friends for a week, or even just 10 minutes. Sacrifice going straight to the tea, coffee, and say hello to the new person. Where have you come from? What do you do? Sacrifice leaving for lunch and sports so quickly after the service so often. Sacrifice 10, 15 minutes at home doing whatever, to come early and welcome potential new people while following up returning people. from my experience again, it was much nicer being welcomed into a church than out of a church. I think Andrew Tong and the Connect 09 team in their annual report in our last AGM have done well to say that we need to grow a mission-minded church. It starts with the simple pre-evangelistic work of welcoming. Now, I do understand the fear and awkwardness even to say hello to people we know sometimes, let alone people we don't know from who knows where. So let's be awkward together. It's an unusual comfort to have someone fumble out a simple, "Hi, how are you going?" Overconfident people can often be overbearing and intimidating, or sometimes can be overbearing and intimidating, but visitors who are probably, maybe, just as anxious as you are won't feel as intimidated by someone on a similar level. Our ultimate example of great self-sacrificial generosity of welcoming people, of course, is Jesus. When he died on the cross as punishment for our sins, even while we're still sinners, even while we were hard to welcome and looked kind of shabby when we walked in the door, he still welcomed us, Romans 5:8. Then by rising to life again, he paved the way for people of all nations. He welcomed people of all nations to come and eat the satisfying fruit of genuine worship to God. When people walk into St. John's for the first time, what do you imagine they think and feel about this place and the people in it? Do they find a great anti-climax? Do they find just another unwelcoming church? That is, another one of those places where we should expect to find true unconditional love, a church, but don't. Let's not be all show and no substance in our comfortable den of robbers. Let's have substance that shows in God's house of prayer, which is for all nations.